John the Baptist ends up in prison because he preached the pure word of God. His question to Jesus comes in that suffering, are you the one, the coming one, or should we expect another? Here was a man who wasn't afraid to look the theological elites of Israel in the eye and call them a brood of vipers. A brood of vipers in need of repentance. Here was a man who was not afraid to stand before kings and call out their sin, but his courage lands him in prison, suffering mightily, no doubt knowing death was imminent. And so he asks Jesus, are you the coming one, or should we expect another? John's situation is not all that unique in the sense that believers today are still besieged and plagued with doubt when times get tough. Are you the one? Or should we look to someone or something else? However, if we really want to compare ourselves to John, then it must be done in the context of persecution. A good number of you have probably tasted your share of persecution when, for example, you tried to turn a family member from sin and it didn't go too well. Instead, they turned on you. They caused you a lot of pain. And they wanted to snatch from you the very kingdom by ridiculing the kingdom and mocking the king. And maybe that caused you to question and doubt as you sunk away in sadness because they violently attacked you for the message you brought them. Long emails, long text messages, maybe even a phone call telling you why they don't need to go to church. In this life, there's a lot of violent people. And we heard it in the gospel lesson, they try to take the kingdom by force. They want to rob you of your joy, snatch away your comfort, and they are willing even to kill the prophets in order for that to happen. The blood of the martyrs is on the hands of the violent ones who wish to snatch away the gift of Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, the very kingdom of God. They want to take it from you that you may die. John the Baptist is just one example. A man possessing the kingdom by faith is snatched, he is seized, thrown in prison, and he will literally lose his head because of it. Friends, we suffer. We suffer consequences for bearing the name of Jesus. It's one thing to go up to someone that you don't know all that well, if at all, and evangelize to them, like going door to door, for example, because there's always the prospect of, well, if they get ticked off or they shut the door in my face, I'll never have to see them again. It's not the case with family members, is it? It's a different ball game. It's a different ball game. And that's why the pain is so tremendous. When it's evident in the family, there's light and darkness, and you can feel, you can sense the tension between the two sides. But violent people still try to take the kingdom. Jesus says this, and his teaching is not outdated. Scholars have really wrestled over that verse. What is Jesus saying when he says the kingdom of God has suffered violence and the violent try to take it by force? But I think many day-to-day Christians who read their Bibles understand exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying because they've experienced violence. You've experienced salt in a wound. You've experienced the wound from those intent on snatching from you the kingdom, that you may join them in their mockery and unbelief. If this has ever happened to you or something like it, in other words, you have tasted the pain of trying to get someone to see the light, and you suffered for it, my friends, you are in good company. John the Baptist suffered for his preaching. He suffered for being a Christian to the point he was even doubting Jesus. Still, in his pain, where does Jesus go for an answer? To Jesus. He sends his disciples to Jesus because he needed to hear preaching. He needed to hear a confirmation, a testimony from his Lord and his God that yes, yes, O John, I am the coming one. So even in prison, even in his doubts, even in his suffering, John's faith still directs him to Jesus, to the Word of God. Jesus answers John. To us, Jesus answers. In our suffering, in our pain, in our misery, in our persecution, Jesus still answers. In his word, he points us to his work. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise, and the poor hear good news. And blessed is the one who's not scandalized by me, says Jesus. He is the one who makes all things right, the one sent to restore creation. The curse of sin with all its horrid effects falls on Jesus. He becomes nothing less than a curse at the cross as he bears in his body all the sins of creation, and he drinks the cup of God's wrath down to its very dregs. The Holy Scriptures even tell us that Jesus bore our sicknesses and our diseases. He pays for all of it at the cross. He restores, regenerates, and enlivens a dead creation. He is the only begotten Son of the Father, sent to restore a fallen, broken world filled with fallen, broken people. But that's what Jesus does. And Jesus' answer to John is an answer to us. In your doubts, in your pain, in your stress, remember, you have a Savior. You have a Savior, and he has redeemed you. And he has redeemed you of your sin, from all of it. John the Baptist was a great man. Jesus says he was the greatest born amongst women. He took his faith seriously, did what he was instructed to do. He abstained from certain pleasures of the flesh, and he believed in God. But Jesus says that one least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. What is our Lord teaching us? He's not saying that people today do better, more holy and pious works than John. But we do live in a very different time than John. What I mean is we live in the time after the resurrection. And so we have things, and we, the church, can believe in things that have happened that the prophets could only anticipate. We live in the time after Jesus has been crucified and risen. The deed is done. The crucifixion has happened. Sin has been paid in full. A past historical event has occurred that John could only look forward to. There's a huge difference there. The kingdom of heaven has been established by shed blood. In John's time, it had yet to be so. How great it is to be in the kingdom, that is certain, because Jesus has made it certain, and he has made that kingdom by his dying and his rising from the dead. Similar to John's situation, our Lord Jesus too would be arrested, led to death. Our Lord would end up on a cross, and his death would make it seem to some that his ministry is for nothing. The disciples would be confused. They will be afraid. They'll even hide behind locked doors because their blessed, beloved teacher, their Lord and their Savior, was killed. And they just don't get it. To our senses, it looks as if there's nothing but victory for the evil one. The violent people have won. They've seized it all. They've trampled, beaten, and flogged him. Now it's all for loss. It's all for nothing. But reason gives way to faith when we hear Christ testify in his word to us that his death means something. And it means something for you, each and every one of you. In the death of our Lord, what is gory, what is bloody and disgusting, is the gift of God by which sin is paid, the penalty is on him. And you, dear Christian, live in the grace of your God with his promise that your sin, all of it, does not condemn you. Yes, the cross is bloody, but Jesus goes as he says. His arrest, trial, suffering, and slaughter were all prophesied by our Lord, and he fulfills his word. So there is nothing out of step with Jesus going to the cross, no. It was part of the plan. The Lord knows what he is doing. He gives his sacred flesh to redeem you. What looks like defeat is victory. What looks like a triumph for the violent ones is the enemy's demise. Satan, sin, and death are defeated by Christ, and Jesus has made you. He has made you his kingdom. He has established it. It is secure by his blood, and not even the gates of hell will overcome it. What John could only look forward to and preach about is now accomplished, fulfilled, and finished in and by the coming one. So my friends in Christ, in your doubts and your fears, and all the many, many stressors in life that do seem to increase this time of year, you are forgiven. You have God's peace. Look unto him. Jesus' answer to John when he was languishing in prison is still his answer to us. He is the one, the coming one, who came, and he shall come again. He gives forgiveness without merit, and he has redeemed all of creation, and one day will return to make it all right. Faith grabs all of this. Faith grabs him. And even in our doubts, by faith, we hear God's word that Christ, your Lord and your Savior, he is yours, and you are his. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto that blessed, perfect, peaceful life everlasting. Amen.